Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, a very famous and talented musician, arranger, composer, Greg Abbate is here. Welcome to the program, Greg.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here.
Great to finally have you with us. This has been a long time and coming for me. I've been a fan of your music and been listening to your CDs and have your CDs. And finally, by coincidence, we happen to meet, and here we are.
Yeah, I'm so pleased about that because I always enjoy your shows and meeting you at the Music Mansion for that show a couple of weeks ago was really great.
Yeah, it just worked out that the Music Mansion, Greg was there with his group and performing, and I introduced myself, and he introduced himself, and the rest is now going to be history. Greg, you and I are about the same generation. I don't think it's a secret. We were both born in the late 1940s and not far from each other. You grew up in Fall River, Massachusetts, correct?
I was born there, but grew up in Woonsocket.
Woonsocket.
Elementary school.
But you're not French then, you?
No, not me. Throw me down. No, my dad was an x-ray tech at the Woonsocket Hospital, and we lived in Barrington. Okay. And the ride got, every day for him. So we found the place in Woonsocket. Of course, I was just like 3 years old, you know.
Right. Oh, that's similar to me. I was born in New Bedford, but I never lived there. Lived in Rhode Island my whole life. So more similarities. Yeah, now, you are known as basically a sax player, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's how most people think of you, although you play several instruments, right?
Well, I do. I play flute, and I play the other saxophones, and I play clarinet, but clarinet mostly for classical work, which I don't do, but I've had students where, you know, practicing, having lessons on clarinet is very, very important if you're a saxophonist, because the clarinet is really unforgiving, and if you can play that pretty well, then the saxophone's a lot easier.
Right. But now, let's go back in time a little bit. You're in Woonsocket, you're 3 years old, and when does music start for you?
In the sixth grade.
Sixth grade,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I was, I guess, like 10, maybe?
10, 11, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a great, I think back, I can feel the air outside, you know, and I can remember the smells of everything, and I opened up the clarinet case.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with the clarinet, and took lessons every Saturday with Henry Devis at the junior high school, Woonsocket Junior High School. It was a big group lesson with about 25 of us kids in there, you know, doing the formulated weekly lesson.
Right.
And then after that, I started to go privately with him. I'd walk to his home from my home, a few blocks, and do that. And I played clarinet through the seventh and eighth grade. And then my band director, Alfred Legue, who is wonderful classical pianist, asked if I could switch the saxophone to play in the jazz band. And that was like a combo band, you know, and we played, you know, stock charts. So that's when I started playing saxophone, alto. Going through the process there, Dave Brubeck came out with Take Five, and that was the big tune, you know, with Paul Desmond.
Sure, yeah.
And everybody wanted to play like Paul Desmond and play Take Five. And so that got me into the jazz world, you know, thinking about that. And it's all history from there. There's so many different mentors and experiences, you know, different schools of music, just playing with iconic people
sure.
that you just learn from being next to.
Every time you perform, every time you do a gig, you're learning something, right?
I
learned that a long time ago. It's never the same. It's always a little something that you take away from it.
Exactly,
I don't want to go too much further here before we get the audience to listen to some of your music. And we have four different CDs that we're going to place cuts from tonight. And this first one is called Dracula. When was this recorded, roughly? Is this 5 years old, 10 years old?
This particular track was recorded in 2018.
Oh, okay, so just a couple of years old.
Yeah, 2019, somewhere around there. It was recorded at the Zeiterion Theater in New Bedford, and it had Tim Ray on the piano, John Lockwood on bass, and Mark Walker on drums, who have been on five recordings of mine from Wailing City Sound. And this was my fourth recording.
You're on.
And Dracula was from a CD, Monsters in the Night, which I did in the late 90s or early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with a different group altogether. And so that was a CD compilated of all tunes from different monsters. And it's been really kind of a great experience to do something like that.
All right, let's listen to Dracula.
Thank you.
Recorded live, as you can tell, at the Zeiterion Theater in beautiful downtown New Bedford. And Greg Abate is a man that has been around many, many times. And, you know, one of the questions I get asked all the time is, where do you like to go? Where do you like to play? Is it you like to play in your living room? Do you like to play at the Music Mansion in Providence? Do you like to play at Carnegie Hall? What's an ideal place for you?
Well, I like all those places, actually. And, you know, the Carnegie Hall, the time I played there was with when I was with the Ray Charles Orchestra, and that was in the mid-70s. That was special. But I like to play wherever I'm playing is where I like to play, actually. I'm not trying to get around.
What a great answer.
You know, and that's what I really feel, because I just got back from Phoenix, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I had played there for one night and came home, and I wish it was longer because I really liked the weather there, and I, you know, although it was really hot, but getting out after like being sort of secluded from the COVID cancellations, you know, so it's great to get back out to the road, right. You know, and play.
Things are starting to open up again, and yeah. People like you and I have the opportunity to do concerts that we haven't done for quite a while. And it is great. And, you know, I love your answer of, you know, wherever you're playing, that's your favorite place to play, because as you grow older as a musician, you learn that, you know, you're not sure if this might be the last time you're ever with this group of people, whether it's a trio or a quartet or whatever band. Things change all the time. So you got
to
keep them for what they're worth, right?
That's right, Mike. And, like, traveling, like, to living in Rhode Island, I love the state. I love it here. My family's here. But I love to play on the road because the second reason for that is that you can't really make a living playing in the same town.
No.
Maybe like about 30 years ago, you could do that because mm-hmm. there's a lot of different things and you could, like, people were used to going and hearing steady bands, like every week they play in the same place.
Yeah.
And the economy was such that you could make that work.
Those times have changed, unfortunately or fortunately. Yeah, it depends on how you look at it. And a lot of the clubs that used to be around, I remember, you know, back in the day when you and I were growing up, there was a celebrity club in downtown Providence, and there was places for live musicians a lot more so than there is now. I mean, you have Chan's in Woonsocket,
right.
which you play at a lot.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's not a lot to come to mind where, you know, local musicians have a shot at it.
That's right. I used to play at Allery's every Thursday night, you know, in the early 80s onward, you know. Yeah, I just left Chan's a couple of weeks ago. It was a great night, you know.
Well, it's always a good night at Chan's in Woonsocket. If you haven't been there, check it out. And specifically, if you ever see Greg appearing there, you want to take that in. Greg, let's go to another piece from one of your CDs. It's called Inner Urge. Tell us about this one.
Oh, this is a Joe Henderson composition. This was also recorded at the Zeiterion Stage Door series, live at the Stage Door in New Bedford, from the same recording that Dracula was recorded at. And I'm playing tenor saxophone on this one with the same rhythm section with Jim Ray, piano, bass, John Lockwood, and drums, Mark Walker.
Excellent. We'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more.
Thank you.
Greg Abate is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversation. He's here with me. I'm Mike Mano, and we're very, very happy here at WCRI to have such a prestigious musician here with us, a star and a man who's made many, many recordings over the years. It's been a long time in coming here at WCRI to get him into our studios, but Now that you found the way, maybe we can do more down the road. It'll be great because you have lots more CDs than we can get into this show.
Yeah, it's like, I've been fortunate, you know. And
do you have any idea how many?
Probably 18 or 19, you know.
18 or 19 albums.
Yeah, recordings, compact discs, yeah.
Wow. Are they all compact or are you old and have some vinyl like I do?
I have one vinyl.
Just one?
That's it. My first one with my fusion band, Channel One, 1981.
My vinyl was from 1980, so there you go.
You have one?
I only have one vinyl. I have lots of CDs, but...
I only have one vinyl, too.
One vinyl, too. So see how our paths are very similar here. It's getting a little weird.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about Greg and some of the places he's traveled and, mm-hmm. and the performances and the CDs. Let's talk a little bit about the composition part. You mentioned that when you were 10 or 11, somewhere in that area, you started to take music up as a passion, if you will. When did the composition or arrangement part of it come? Was it pretty quickly, or is it later on in life?
It was later on when I was in at Berklee. At the time, it was called Berklee School of Music. It's
right.
Now Berklee College.
Yeah.
And I was in my first second year, and I was playing piano in my practice rooms, playing. But I got into learning about harmony and chords, and I just loved that. And I was supposed to be practicing my saxophone, and I did, but I would get into writing and just put the sax down and just started to hear these lines and write. And that's when I started to get into composition.
Hmm.
And that was like in the early 70s, Yeah.
Yeah, and it just kind of came to you.
Yeah, because
it's a natural gift. I mean, nobody can say, oh, I think I'll become a composer. I mean, you have to have it, I think, right?
I think so, and
yeah.
Nothing to be negative about other people, but other people have different talents, you know?
Sure, sure.
So, but the composition is really something that's an infinite quest,
yeah.
Because I've written a lot of songs, and sometimes I'll write a lot of songs and play them for a couple of months, and mm-hmm. then I'll write more tunes, and then someone will say, could you play that other song that you wrote? I said, well, gee, I haven't got the music for it for the guys tonight. So,
yeah.
it's so infinite, to do.
Right. It's amazing how the twists and turns come. And you talk about, being a composer is a unique skill and not to put anyone else down. I'll bet you can't do brain surgery. So
no,
see,
you can't do that.
I can't either. So we can both be musicians, but neither one of us can do brain surgery. Let's talk about another CD, and we're going to play, I think, the title cut from it. Magic Dance, is that right?
Yes, Magic Dance is a song written by Kenny Barron, the great pianist, and I had the pleasure of recording again with him in my group. As I was the leader, and Wailing City Sound Recordings record company, recorded us at Rudy Van Gelder Studios in 2021. And this is a compilation of two compact discs with 14 songs by Kenny Barron with arrangements by me. And I do a lot of overdubbing on it. This particular tune is titled Magic Dance, and I'm on flute, and then I overdubbed the alto with the flute because that was what I came up with the arrangement, because mm-hmm. there's so many things to do you could do, but this mm-hmm. is finished now, so this is what it is.
All right,
it's got the alto overdub with it, and the other people on the recording are Desiron Douglas on bass and Jonathan Blake on drums, and of course Kenny Barron on piano. And Kenny Barron compositions arranged by me.
There you go. Magic Dance. Greg, we have time for one more tune before we take our next break. It's called Quicksilver. Quicksilver, tell us about that.
Well, Quicksilver is written by the great Horace Silver, and this is a tribute to Horace. Includes on the recording Claudio Roditi, the late great Claudio Roditi on trumpet, Marshall Wood on bass, Hilton Ruiz, the late great Hilton Ruiz on piano, and Archie Cabral, another Rhode Island native, on drums. And this is part of a CD, Horace is Here.
All right, we'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more.
Thank you.
Music of Greg Abate is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we've been listening to music that Greg has recorded over the years, most recently, most of it. Hmm. And we're going to talk briefly about the fact that if you want to catch up with Greg, you need to check his website and see the schedule, because he's everywhere.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, if you live in the UK, you got a real good shot, because you mentioned during the break that you have 28 performances coming up in the UK.
23.
I exaggerated.
That's in July, and then of course in November I've been going every year in July and November. And this fall I have like the end of October into November up to Thanksgiving, where I'll be there. That's like probably about 26 gigs.
Wow.
So and going to Wales too, you know, in the UK.
Right. Well, that's great. And unfortunately for us, you're not in Rhode Island all that often, but you do have a gig coming up at Chan's down the road.
Yes, sir. 17th of September.
17th of September. Yeah. I know it's a little early, but mark your calendars now.
It's really
that,
great.
If you want to hear Greg Ketch's act, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Tremendous musician. And once again, we met at a concert that was being held at the Music Mansion in Providence, and what a great opportunity that was for me to hear you live. That was really cool.
Oh, thank you, Mike. It was great to be there. That was my second time most recently being there.
Right.
Over the years.
So this is the kind of thing where you have a world-class musician right here in our own backyard. And if you do have a chance, check out the website. What is the website,
Greg? www.gregabate.com.
And that's A-B-A-T-E, Abate. Yeah. And so check that out and find out where he's going. Greg, I can't thank you enough for coming into our studios at WCRI. It's such a pleasure to have you. Find out a little bit about you. But I feel like we've just scratched the surface. You have so much to tell and so much more music for our audience to listen to.
Well, I just wanted to mention also that the last five recordings that I've done have been with Wailing City Sound Records, and they're in New Bedford, and they put out some good stuff.
Yeah, they have actually been on the show conducting conversations before.
Great.
The main man there.
Neil Weiss.
Right. Neil was here, and we did a show and talked about a lot of the recordings that's going on there. It's a world-class recording studio. And Greg is just one of the many artists that takes advantage of that to be right here in southern New England. So once again, Greg, thank you for being here. And I want to talk a little bit about this next piece called Voyage. Tell us about this.
This is is on the recording Magic Dance, the 2-CD set with Kenny Barron. That we played the track from, just Magic Dance from.
Right.
Well, this is Voyage. It's like one of his most famous songs, I think, for jazz. And I overdubbed the sax section. I did five saxophones on it. Of course, I played once with the main track, and then I overdubbed alto sax, tenor sax, tenor sax two, and baritone sax.
I didn't know there was a tenor sax two.
Oh, the second part of the sax section.
Oh, it's the same instrument.
The same instrument, but it's a different notes underneath.
Oh, okay.
So it layers the harmony.
Okay.
All the way down, like a five piece vocal group.
Right.
Soprano, alto, right.
Yeah.
Tenor, baritone,
or
quartet,
or bass. Yeah.
So that's how it is. So every horn has a different note to make the chord.
Cool.
But it's layered, so you can hear it go by like a whole.
That's amazing talent to get that on the disc. All the CDs, I shouldn't say all the CDs, but many of your CDs are available online.
Yes, online. You can find them online. Just Google Greg Abate or Google Greg Abate recordings, or go to my website, or you can even email me on my website, and I can send you a signed copy, and you can. It's a PayPal.
Wow, a signed copy. I don't even have a signed copy, but we'll get one before you leave.
That's right. I was going to say that.
All right, Greg. We're going to listen to Voyage, and we'll listen to that now. And once again, thanks, Greg.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike.
Okay. We'll listen to this, and we'll see you the next time on Conducting Conversations.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.